Okay. So we're going to read down from 27 to 31, and then we'll open up and proceed. Where is boasting then? Romans 3:27. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. As we look into it, we look always for enlightenment and understanding as we study the things that pertain to our standing with you that is secured by faith and through faith. We thank you for recording these things, and we pray as we go forward that the Holy Spirit would enlighten our understanding, that we might be strengthened and established in your word. We pray for those who are not here, for those who may want to be here, and for those who have no concern at all. We just thank you for salvation by grace through faith, and we pray today that this time would be to your glory and for our edification. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, we're in finishing up here in chapter 3, and I think last week we talked about the importance of the propitiation, that is, that God is, chapter 3 to me is the most important chapter in Romans. It's actually the cross is the key event in God's program. The cross allows God to do all that he's wanting to do, all that he's counseled to do through Christ. That is to reconcile both heavenly places and the earth to himself, and also to equip the believers to function as they worship and serve him in those two areas. That's all there is really in Scripture. If you narrow it down, that's all it is. It's God reconciling the heavenly places and the earth to himself, and it's him equipping those believers, we call them saints, to worship and serve him in one of those two places. That's it. Okay, let's go home. But that's it. I mean, if all this is meat, but that's the skeleton. And as you read, when you keep that in mind, those things will become more and more clear to you. You'll be able to pad your understanding as you go along, because you're keeping in mind the big picture. For example, if you're going to I'm trying to think of what's the end of Florida. If you're going to what's 55 ends where? If you take 55, well, obviously, you can detour off if you exit, and you might see some shops and some restaurants, but you always get back on the main course, and you know where it's heading. So if you keep in mind those two things in Scripture, you might go off and you see incidents, but they're all related to the main theme. Okay. So this is part of it. But when Christ is the propitiation, when, for example, and we'll get to start it here, is that's how you don't get done. When you see four verses, that's how you don't get done. You're going off to the left. But there's, when you read a verse, I'll tell you, hold your hand there in Romans, Ephesians chapter 1. Now this will help you. If you read it, it'll stick with you. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 8. tell you what. Verse 7. Verse 6. Okay. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein His grace He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Now, that's Romans 3, 25. That is Christ's propitiatory work right there. How you're accepted is because of Him. How you have redemption is because of Him. Verse 8, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to, His good pleasure, my page is off there, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things, where? In Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. So you see, what God is wanting to do is centered around His Son. It's in Him and it's by Him. I think in Colossians says that all these things, these positions, they belong to Him. They were created by Him and for Him. That goes with us too. You are created for Him, man. So when you keep that in mind, you kind of establish some ground rules as you go forward. Okay, back to 2:3. So the propitiatory work, Christ as the propitiation, allows Him to give us these things freely. And it gives Him the authority to be the ruler of heaven and earth. And when He talks about the forgiveness and the redemption that we had, in verse, just to go back a bit, verse 24 says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. That sounds like what we just read, doesn't it? Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier on him which believeth in Jesus. You know how you get right, how you and I are righteous or declared righteous? It's because of Him.
We are in the blood.
We are in Him. You know how you get in Him?
By faith.
By faith, which He introduced. Christ's work as the propitiation. You guys weren't here, but let's see how much put you on the spot here. Do you know what another word for propitiation is? No? You?
Something good.
Satisfactory.
There you go. That man gets a star. He said mercy seat. And that was where the blood was sprinkled on the atonement, on the Day of Atonement. That was when Israel's sins were covered. And the scripture said that Christ is the propitiation. He's the mercy seat. He is the place where forgiveness was accomplished. In this situation, He's the person. The place becomes a person. You know, this was just a type to be done away with until the real satisfying sacrifice comes along, which is Christ. The priest would go in, sprinkle the blood, and there's
a bulls
and goats, and their sins were covered for a year. Now he says, once I shed my blood for you, your sins are covered. Not for a year. For eternity. That's what scripture says. Having obtained eternal redemption for us. So if you get something that lasts eternally, what do you do with the one that lasts a year?
You do away with it.
You don't need it anymore. That's why they don't do that anymore. Christ is the propitiation through faith in his blood. So that sacrifice is the benefit comes to us through faith. That satisfying sacrifice happened there. Okay. And in verse 26, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth, key word, in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. And he shows you, if you can work for it, if you can work to satisfy, if you can work to satisfy God, you wouldn't need any help, would you? If you could work to satisfy God, you wouldn't need any help, would you?
Right. In fact, he said if there was a law, if there could be a law
that could have given life,
then righteousness would have been a law, but there is none.
So, is it by works?
By his works.
That's why it does say to declare at this time his what?
Righteousness.
His righteousness. Now, the law, it was a list of righteous things to do. Those things, or it was a list of things as a standard of God's righteousness. That is what he wanted. Lucas, do you remember the first one? The first law? Ten Commandments. You remember the first law? Notice the ten suggestions. Yes, the ten suggestions. The ten encouragements.
Thou shalt not steal.
The first one is to love him with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. All right, we got that one. We can go on to the next one, right?
Yeah, right.
Right?
Thanks for playing.
All right, watch this. Oh, I'm picking with you today. Did you think about God yesterday? He honest man. He said no. You think that's a breaking of the commandment?
Sure.
So no way he could say. See, it's not like this. It's not like I messed up today, Mike. You get to start all over tomorrow. It's not like that.
One and done.
One and done. This is what Romans 2 says this, that by patient, look at it, Romans 2. I want you to see. Romans 2. Yes. What'd you say? Yes. Okay. Romans 2. Verse 6 says this: who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by occasional well-doing, patient. I'm sorry, what?
Patient.
Continuance. What does that mean?
Non-stop.
Cursed is the man that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of this law. Cursed is the man that continueth. Patient, continuous, and well-doing. So once, like James says, it's not a hearer of the law that's justified, but a doer. Now we have, here's a man that says, you know what, honestly, Frank, I didn't even think about him yesterday. Do we have a witness? I'm sure there's some days where I didn't think about it. I know you're like, what? The teacher? What?
Life happens.
I'm sure it was. I couldn't say it was this day or yesterday or last week, but I'm sure it was a day in there.
Life in the heart of man happens to us all.
That's how you know it's not by your performance. You missed the first one. Now, we were talking about job applications. Is when you read the application and it has the requirements for that job. And you look at it and it says the first thing we want is a person that's highly qualified. We want a man with a doctorate or a master's or a PhD. If you don't have that, are you going to negotiate with them? Well, you know, I'm close to it. I got 17 more credits to go.
I want it so bad.
I really want to do this. What are they going to tell you?
Sorry.
Nope.
Sorry what?
You don't meet the requirements.
You're not qualified. But I've been wanting to do this all my life. Keep working. Who said that? Keep working. And you're going to find out, you know what, you just can't meet it. That's what the law was designed to show all men. You can't meet it. You can't meet what? You can't meet what satisfies him. You can't do good enough to satisfy him. You can't go to church enough to satisfy him. You can't stop cussing enough. You can't stop drinking enough. You can't stop lying enough. That's we relate to that kind of stuff. That's the base things. That's how we think, Johnny is. You can't.
You got a camera in my house or something?
That's, you can't meet it. So you can't say, well, he couldn't be saved. Or she couldn't be. Or even think to yourself is, because I don't do this, I'm better than him. Or because I do this, then I'm better than her.
That's a graduated performance scale.
And I go back to that cartoon that I always talk about where I was reading the cartoons one day and it was a picture and you had a pot.
Talk to the skillet.
Right. And you had the two there and the little caption, it said what?
What did you call me?
That's funny, isn't it? So what did he call him?
Black.
He called him black. He said, that's the pot calling the kettle black. And they're both what?
Black.
That's what sinner is. Is why are you pointing out everything that's wrong with me like you're not wrong too?
the beam and the boat.
So we talk about being a sinner. What did you call me?
Excusing or accusing
one another. I'm glad you said that. So you got excusing or accusing one another. And you think about the verse said that Christ is just and a justifier. Is who could excuse you from your sin? Or who could lift the accusation from off you?
Except.
So Christ, if you're the accused, you deserve punishment, right? And Christ is just. You don't get away with the punishment you deserve. He took it for you. You're guilty, but you got away. But not really. He took it for you. You're still guilty afterwards. After you trust him, you don't stop doing wrong things. Not then, not now, not until you die. That's when you're completely delivered from the influences of sin, the sin nature. Well, what happens when you do those things? You excuse yourself to me. Well, sometimes I might not let you off the hook. But Christ is the justifier. He can say, you know, I know he did it, but he's still righteous. What? I know he failed to you, but to me, he's still righteous. Lord, here she is. We caught her. In the very act. We caught her in the very act. And he says, let you who are without sin, you cast the first stone.
Let me scribble down something you did in the dirt.
And you know what you heard? You heard the stones dropping from the eldest to the youngest. Why'd they drop them?
Because they were all with sin.
Because they knew I'm no different. That's why Christ, he's just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Not try to keep your end up by works. You think it's going to be another day when he can say, I didn't think about him today?
Sure.
Chances are. How old are you?
16.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He's not even in college yet. If I in my college days
were great, right?
Right. Like Jesus? Who? Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Yeah. 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 I appreciate this honesty, don't you? But even if he didn't, guess what? If he didn't admit it, the Lord knows. You know too. You know how you know?
Because I'm going to say so.
Because it's been days when you didn't think about them. And they aren't over either. Yeah, you know, I've been saved 20 plus years. And you trying to tell me that there's a day that's coming that I'm not going to think about the Lord? No way. See, that's you. That's you. And like Peter, oh no, I'll never deny you. Yeah. See, he's telling you about yourself in all those situations. Is that you can't work for it. You don't deserve it. You won't deserve it. You don't and you won't. You won't and you don't. Does that sound better? Okay. So, back to 3. Where is boasting then?
It's excluded.
It is excluded. By what law? Of works?
Nay.
Your boasting is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay. But by the law of faith. These are principles. The principle of the law is this. The law worketh wrath. By the law is the knowledge of sin. By the commandment, sin becomes exceeding sinful. He's a 16. Exceeding.
It's gonna get worse.
She let him off. Exceeding means it increases. That's an adjective. It describes your sin. Your sin is decreasing.
It's progressive.
Decrease means
less, to get smaller.
Increase,
to get bigger.
So your sin, he said, the law is designed to make your sin exceeding sinful. Now, you just think of, we always think of the worst things. That's just the way we are. But this is what the law, this is what sinful, what does sinful mean? If you had to give me a definition, what does it mean?
It's without faith.
Full of sin.
Full of sin.
To miss the mark?
To miss the mark. What mark?
The God's standard of perfection.
You know, it's to miss, like he said, the first one is to love me.
With all your heart.
Okay. And he said, I want to show you how much you don't love me. As a matter of fact, it's not even that you like me. Your love for me is so unloving. It's so on the decrease that I have to show you by a list how exceeding you know what that means, don't you?
Don't love.
How exceeding is your non-love for me. See, you're thinking in your mind right now, I don't not love God. Didn't you think that? You're thinking that. And he said, no. The scriptures say that you are enemy.
We're also redefining
that
love.
You are ungodly.
We're redefining love when we say that too.
By nature,
and that's by nature, you're an enemy.
That's our sin nature that we were born with.
He called us. You're aliens,
strangers,
enemies,
without God,
ungodly. And in Titus, he says, you're hateful. And hating one another. And you'd be like, oh, he got the wrong guy. Not me. Now, see, you're not arguing with me.
Nope.
That's what I like.
See.
I don't know you, but I know you. You know how?
You know you.
See, you might think Frank, he's a really nice guy. But look, I know I have to believe the record that he says about man. That's why he says the law was written that every mouth might be stopped and all the world become guilty before God. See, the minute you say, you know what? God's right. I'm good out here. I'm good at home. But for the man, to the man that it really counts, he knows me. And I'm going to have to agree with him. He knew he needed not that any should testify to him of man, because he knew what was in man. That puts you in a bad spot, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. That would be terrible if he just left you like that, with no hope, without God, in that state. That's why he says, but now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifest. See, everybody should. I need to hear that. And he says it's through my son. He says, now you can get a good standing freely. Freely. That means with your rotten self. You don't work. You don't perform. Matter of fact, even if you woke up tomorrow and said, you know what, Lord, I didn't think about you today. And he'd say, it's okay, Lucas. Come on in, son. I already got that covered. Right. Well, okay. That's good, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It's wonderful.
That's wonderful, yes. That's the boasting. Now, this is probably a remedial truth for you guys. Yeah, I know that. Do you know that there's a lot of people out there who they're still
working.
They're still working their way through the list. Just skip number one, Lucas. They're still trying to get down there. Like, well, I don't steal. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. You forgot something, didn't you? I don't commit adultery. Wait a minute. I don't covet. I keep Sabbath. Wait. Are you forgetting something?
Number one.
You know, it's just a matter of time before you break the Sabbath. It's just a matter of time before you covet. It's just a matter of time before you commit adultery. I would never do that. Jesus comes on the scene. This is Matthew chapter 5. And he says, they say this. They is Moses. He said, this I say. Okay. Matthew chapter 5. We're just going to pick one out of here. Let's see. Matthew 5, verse 28, 27. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. You know what, Mike? These are the kind of verses that back in Detroit, you knew when you're sitting down, them the kind of make your toes curl up. You know, when you get tight, because you know what?
He's
on my aisle. He's on my aisle. Or you're like, move on.
Change the subject,
right. Because you don't want to be guilty.
Right.
Listen. Gentlemen, have you ever fit that verse?
All the time.
That's where the Lord comes. He says, now, you may not have the opportunity, but in your mind,
you're making provision for the flesh.
In your mind, see, it's Jesus said this, it's not what goes into a man that defiles him. It's what's on the inside. That's why Jesus comes and he says, oh, I know I hadn't seen you do it on the outside yet, but do you think about it? What are you going to say? Sometimes.
There's a truth.
Sometimes, yeah.
You point to the source.
So, your performance is excluded. 27. It is excluded by what law? The law says this. You deserve death. You're guilty. It's excluded by what law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Aren't you glad that there's a law of faith?
Mm-hmm.
28, and we're going to come back to the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law.
It has to be by your
estimation. You add these things up and you're going to come away with this. There's no way that I can work for this. You conclude. That means you have to chip away all those false ideas about how you could be accepted with God, and you're going to come down with one thing, and that is faith. You have to believe not only what he says about you and your condition, but you have to believe how he tells you how you can get out of you and your condition. And he says that is through faith in him, in his son. The law of faith is the principle of faith is this. The law is equivalent to your works. Faith is no works, or in particular, his work. If you could work for it, God will owe it to you. Not by works of righteousness which he have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. By grace are you saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. Not what you do, but what he's done. Okay. And if we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law, that is by experience. You learn that not just by the record, but you know by your own performance that you don't deserve it. When Moses was bringing the children of Israel into the land, he told them, Deuteronomy 30. This is what makes scripture and scripture study so important is Hebrews says without faith it's what?
Impossible to please God.
It's impossible to please him. Now that is not blind faith. When I say blind faith, that is not that you just think of something that you think God would like and you do it.
It's faith in what he has.
It's faith in what he has declared, what he has said to you. You can't believe God unless God has spoken
faith
to you.
By hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Faith comes
by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
By hearing and hearing by the word of God.
Specific.
Okay. Does it say 30? Deuteronomy 30. Verse. I'm just going to pick and choose through here. Verse 6. And the Lord thy God, I'll tell you what. Start at verse 1. 30 verse 1. And it shall come to pass, when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations, whether the Lord God hath driven thee, and shall return unto the Lord thy God, and shall obey his voice, according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children, with all thine heart and with all thine soul. That then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity and have compassion upon thee and will return and gather thee from all the nations whether the Lord thy God has scattered thee. Now, here's a people that was operating by works. And the Lord said this, if you work continuance in well-doing, I'll put you in this land and I'll bless you in this land. And he said, any takers? And they said, yes. And he said, but if you don't continue in well-doing in this land, then I'll scatter you among all nations. Any takers? Of course not. But they go together. Mm-hmm. See, that's what we do. We always like the good. Because that's what we are. But they couldn't do it. So he scattered them out among all nations. But he says, but if you change your mind, admit that you were wrong, then I can bring you back. Verse 6. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart. And the heart of thy seed to what?
To love
the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul that thou mayest live. Sound familiar?
Mm-hmm. Promise in the new covenant.
He said the Lord would do this. Not you. Not them. Okay. Verse 10. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in this book of the law. And if thou turn to the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, for this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven, that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea, that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. See, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Now let me ask you something. What did Moses put before them?
The law.
He put before them the law. He says, this is not rocket science. You saying you want to do what God wants to do? He said, don't say who's going to go up to heaven to get it. Don't say who's going to go to the sea to get it. He says what he wants to tell you and what he wants you to do is very close to you. How close? It's in your mouth and in your heart. Do you know we that love the Lord, that every time you read it, what he wants you to do, you don't have to go around saying, wonder what the Lord wants me to do. It's in your mouth when you what? Read it, and it's in your heart
when you believe it.
Now, he just said it's in your heart to do it. It's, you can do it or not. That's why he said, I'm putting before you life and death. Because somewhere in between your hearing, your reading, when you read it and hear it, there's something that has to happen. It has to be mixed. It has to be mixed with faith. That is, you have to believe, like Jesus said, the words that I'm speaking are spirit and
life.
If you don't, it won't. When I say the words of Jesus, that is, I'm not talking about the red letters either. I'm saying whatever he has, in this day, he has written to us through the Apostle Paul. Those are the words of life. What is that? Corinthians? Look at this verse. 2 Corinthians. Chapter 2. Verse 14. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God we speak, in sight of God speak we in Christ. In other words, what we're doing right now is, what we're doing is life unto life to some, death unto death to others. Because we've been entrusted with the knowledge of Christ. And I can say this, and you can say this. If you understand right division, I can stand before you and say, I know what God wants today. I know. That's life. Life. And if I give it to you, it's life unto life, if you receive it. And it's death unto death if you don't. Now, it's not always physical death. It's functional, experiential death. Is you could die as a couple. If I take this and say, look, this is what makes a good couple in Christ. I give that life, words of life to you, and you can say, I don't believe that. What's intended for life now, what?
Is death.
It becomes death. Now, there's exceptions. You can say, well, I know so-and-so and so, and they're fine. That's not the rule.
Yeah, they find on the outside.
Look, exceptions are not the rule. Chances are, I think we were talking about, there was a lady, I think they were like, their husband was 90 and she was like 80. What would it look like? And I'm not, Jerry's gone on now, but what would it look like if we heard that, like, Jerry divorced Jerry?
What?
Yeah. He'd be like, he's 90, right? She's 88. They're in the nursing home right next to each other. And they got a divorce. They were both saved, weren't they? It's nothing but a word. If you don't take the words, it's experientially. It works, but if you don't want it to work, it's not going to work.
It has to be
next to faith. It has to be. So, you see, if that's the same way. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, the where are we at? I guess we're not going to get through with that. Four verses. Therefore, 28, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. But we can conclude that a man is justified by faith. Faith is the key ingredient. Is you have to take God at his word in order to benefit from what he has done in his word.
Say that again.
You have to take God at his word in order to benefit from what he has done through his word.
Yeah.
In any situation. If you go, if God told Noah to build an ark, and he, you know, I don't have time to get the gopher wood. I'm going to use this. It's right here.
God operating in faith.
And he builds it up, and he pushes, and you know, he gets it ready, and it starts to rain. And all of a sudden, the water holes come in. God, you told me to do this. And God goes through the checklist and he says, did you do it with gopher wood? And that's the first one. And he said, oh,
whoops.
No, I use cypress.
Life becomes death.
Was intended for life, right, becomes death. All because he didn't take God at his word. And we're going to find out that's the case whether it was a Jew or a Gentile. God gave the Jews something to believe. And if they believed it, it would put them in the position where they could benefit from what God had for them. Same way with the Jew, with the Gentiles, if they believed God, it would put them in a position that they would benefit by faith for what he had for them. In this case, what he had for the Jew and the Gentile is the same thing. It's the
means.
Huh?
The means were the same thing?
The benefit was the same thing. That's the only thing good, right? Is what's being done, when I told you, what's being done through his son, whether it's for the Jew or the Gentile, it still is possible by what God has done through his son. That's the only way he could, I won't say overlook, the only way that he can justly deal with your shortcomings and my shortcomings and their shortcomings. Now, we got three more verses to finish up in there, and we'll do that next time. So we'll stop at verse 28 and pick up at 29. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.